الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. الصحابي رضي الله عنه brought his father to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the leader of the clan, and for the leaders of the clan to accept Islam, it was like to forget a lot of old stories, old customs. It's like what me and you will say is that to delete your whole profile, all those numbers you got on your WhatsApp, on your groups, how many girls you know, some of the country, some of the world. And now a person comes and he is told, now press one button, delete, and everything goes. So that's when many of my friends, when they come, then I tell them, make tawbah. So they're ready to make tawbah. But I tell them, delete, they don't want to delete. So maybe I'll give her da'wat. She'll change. But the delete is hard. And the hardest one is that boy who got one girl. Now he wants to change. He wants to stop sending messages. But what he says is that if I stop talking to her, she'll cut her wrists. She'll kill herself. So I'm so worried about her, just to save her. So every boy I told, it's a lie. The girl will always tell you, if you don't talk to me, I'll cut myself, I'll kill myself. But up till today, not one girl killed herself. They won't. This world is so be-wafa, disloyal. The very day you tell a girl, I'm not going to talk to you, the next day she's talking with your best friend. In that world, for a man to pull away from haram, so that leader of the Arabs, he was told, delete your whole past. Every idol of yours, take it out. You'll have to break it. You'll have to take it out of your house. But they loved those idols. So he was in a confused state. So he said, oh Allah's Nabi. He said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, teach me something to say that my Creator can put the truth in my heart. Because I know this is right, but my heart is not ready to accept. So at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, read this dua, that Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina. So you all can read it. Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina wa a'idhna min shururi anfusina. Ilham is the next level of wahi. The Anbiya alayhim as-salam would get wahi. And for the rest of the world, it was called ilham. Ilham means such a throw from Almighty Allah into the heart of an individual. Nabi Musa alayhi salam's mother got ilham. That take your son and throw him in the waters. No mother in the right frame of mind will take her child and throw into the Nile. She was scared the army of Firaun will find Musa alayhi salam, a young boy. When she was in that state of confusion, in her heart came a feeling to put him in a box and throw him in the river. And when her daughter would say, Mommy, what are you up to? She would say, I got this feeling. Allah has put it in my heart that this boy will come back to me. I must just throw him in. That level where such a strong feeling comes, it can make man defy every ism, every secularism, every modernism, every humanism. Every girl will come out of the heart. Every phone will come out of the heart. Every car will come out of the heart. Every star will come out of the heart. If Allah Tawarakala just throws. That is that Allahumma alhimna. That, oh Allah, in my heart will you make that ilham now. Throw something so strong that removes every other idol, every other dirt, every other filth. So many a time man says, I want to change. But immediately then, shaitan will say, but. And his own nafs, carnal pasha will say, but. If you're going to become good now, if you're going to take out a beard now, if your hair is going to become normal now, if you're going to start looking like a good pious man now, then who will marry you? That girl who you always wanted in school will leave you. Your clique and your friends will look at you funny. That nafs, when it says that, then immediately the second part of the dua is that, O Allah, after you throw from your side, وَأَعِذْنَا مِن شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا, then I know my nafs is going to start giving answers. And is going to start putting objections to what you have put in my heart. So I ask you to protect me from the dirt and the harm of my own self. That man read this dua, and how he read it, it must have shaken the heavens. That, O Allah, I ask you, throw it in my heart now. And the one thing that will stop what you are saying, my nafs, O Allah, push it one side. And within 1 minute, he said, I'm ready to read La ilaha illallah. To make that move from a religion of kufr, when you are the leader of the clan, is not an easy thing. The entire clan looks up to you. People will say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You have to lose brothers, you have to lose sisters, you have to lose friends. You have to lose position, you have to lose the whole life. But who Allah tabarak ta'ala sees, he is desirous of. And that man, du'as don't have to be made in Arabic. Du'as can be made in English. It can be made with no tongue. It could be made from the heart. That, O Allah, if you throw it in my heart, and you save me from the evil of myself, I will be able to walk in a path where nobody else is walking. And as long as you don't throw, then my mind has understood the truth. But my heart still is not ready to accept. That's mine and your condition at the moment. The very fact that we all landed up here means every one of us knows there are certain things in my life which I do which is not right. But to make that one step further, that is the hardest. No one is ready for it. Everyone feels that if I go, I get knocked, killed, destroyed. So Allah tabarak ta'ala opened up a system. The system is الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ, that a man must find a friend, someone who he can relate with, who he can talk with, someone who he can express what he got inside. Every one of us got certain thoughts, certain feelings. But you can't speak to your mother about it. You can't speak to your father about it. Your very own ustad at the madrasa, you can't speak. As long as you were 8 years old to 13 years old, whatever question you had, you can ask your ustad. My wuzu broke. Wind came out. What must I do? You say, make wuzu. That was an easy question. You say, blood came out. What must I do? You say, make wudu. But the day comes where you become mature. On that day, the boy is not going to go to his mother and say, mommy, today something else came out. What must I do now? Now he's shy. Now who he'll ask? In school, his friends might tell him, come, we'll tell you what's happening. They say, you want to know what happens when you get married? Perhaps a teacher might teach you in the school because it's part of the syllabus. But they will teach you their way. Your friend will teach you his way. Who will ever teach you the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught? How clean it was, how pure it was, how unique it was. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say certain things regarding marriage, certain things regarding desire for a boy between a girl. So someone would feel that, are you not shy? These things, you just say it like that, you're not shy. People will start laughing. So Allah tabarak ta'ala reveals in the Quran that verily Allah is not shy. What has to be mentioned, Allah tabarak ta'ala is not shy at all of mentioning. The wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were told that the private meetings with your husband, you'll have to explain it to the world so that the whole ummah can understand that when a boy got a feeling for a girl, what must he do? But if you don't have a friend who understands more than you and he's on the right path, when you're going to have questions, when you're going to reach an age where 14 comes, 13 comes, in today already at the age of 11, that boy before 11 had no desire. He was running in the house, running in the shop. He was looking at every girl, and every girl looked to him like salad. Salad means no interest. But once the age changed from 11 to 12, the salad became samosa. Now suddenly he starts looking at the shape. Before that he wasn't. Salad, lettuce, no one worries. Can be fat, can be thin. You'll just eat it. But that samosa now, you'll see how pointed it is this way and that way. Why you started looking? Who are you going to ask? That yesterday how I viewed her and today how I view. Yesterday I had her phone number, I never phoned. Today I can't wait to send the message. Is it normal for me or not? Who you'll ever ask? You're going to ask your mother. Mommy, you know the girl next door, I like her. She'll slap you in the face. Say, you're such a small twit. You're talking big things. But you got that desire. But your mother doesn't understand. According to her, only when you reach 25, you start getting desire. So the age of 18, you say, Mommy, I want to get married. She say, no, you're too young. The poor mother doesn't know you already did everything. At that time, who are you going to ask? That is there a way my Islam taught me that I can be different? So many of our friends, one of the main problems they had was the day they got desire, they started thinking I'm bad. So because of that desire, Lord desire, burning desire, instead of coming closer to the masjid, even if he had to come for salah, when he would say Allahu Akbar, he would start picturing that girl. He would picture in different conditions. He would get filthy ideas in his mind. When he would go in sajda, he would have evil thoughts. And when he was lying on the bed at night, he would turn this way and that way. Few days he would understand this is dirty. And then he would understand, if I get dirty thoughts, it means I'm a dirty person. Because I'm a dirty person, I'm not supposed to be in this crowd. I'm a dirty guy. So I'd rather go in the clubs. I'm burning, burning, burning with desire. The only way I can make my desire calm is to allow my desire to do what it wants. And 99.9% of the world is doing this. Where you will see a non-Muslim, you will see a Muslim. One friend from France, at a huge old age, he accepted Islam. Germany. I told him, what's the life of the people of Germany, America, England, South Africa, Cape Town? That what is the life of a person who got no connection with his creator? So he said, there's no life. Although we might say they're free, do what you want. You ever saw the Statue of Liberty? The Statue of Liberty means Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty means a woman who has made the call for freedom. So on the Statue of Liberty at the bottom there's chains. And the chains are broken. As though to say that once upon a time I was chained in religion. Religion never allowed me to speak who I wanted to. To sleep with who I wanted to see who I wanted to dress how I want. And then that Statue of Liberty got a flame here, that's the fire. And he's giving that message that the day I handed myself over to the fire, meaning to Iblis, and I pulled away from the chains of religion, I found my freedom. Lady Liberty means the statue of prostitution. When America put up that statue as an announcement to the world that we are going to introduce you to the world of Satanism, become free. What is this religion? So at that time in Europe, the church was in charge. So you learned about it in school, that Europe came out of the dark ages into the age of light. But what they meant by that is Europe came out of the church into Satanism. So darkness, they said, it was the church. Every religion on that day, when that statue went up, every religion collapsed, except Islam. That statue announces every day, we will create for y'all. So Hollywood was created, Bollywood was created, Disney World was created, the internet was created, WhatsApp was created. And it would be that statue who would be doing the creation, and those that were behind that statue. Later on in the world, someone would call them Freemasons, someone would call them Illuminati. Different names they would take. We would call them the lobby of Shaitan. They would sit, they would plan, they would get their inspiration from the Shaitani world. They would open up clubs, they would open up raves, millions and billions would be poured in. Let's create something. Every day create such a thing that one individual in Cape Town who got a turban today, tomorrow the turban must come out. The hair must change. So we will teach them hairstyles. There's any style of hair you can have. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would cut his hair in so many different manners. He loved to keep a zulfa. He kept it long. He kept it till the shoulder. He kept it till the neck. He kept it till the ear. He showed different ways. Some people can cut out the hair full. But that Statue of Liberty and the ones behind it would show that we will show the world every haircut except the haircut of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will make them cut their hair in such a manner that if they had kept it on the haircut of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then from morning to night, in the toilet and in the masjid, in school and at home, wherever he would move, awake or asleep, one angel would be writing down in the obedience of the Rasul of Allah. So he would always be moving in divine mercy. When you are in divine mercy, that desire doesn't come so much. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, I also get attracted. And hardly can anyone hold back from the attraction of the desire when a girl comes in front. And at that moment to say no, it's not an easy thing. My friend said, I'll just go to the club. I'll just go see what's happening. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be a group of people who will say, we know it's Dajjal. We know it's a Dajjali area. He said, they will say, we just want to go see what's happening. He says, but when they reach there, the spell of Dajjal will grab them also. I have seen boys like that, who entered in the club just to go see what's happening in the club. As soon as they entered, the drug which was being shot in the air knocked them a little. That boy looked around and he said, this is heavy stuff. Because he was a hafiz and alim of Quran, or becoming an alim, he said, I'm going out. The others went in. Soon as he turned to go out, there was a girl at the door. She showed him. There and there, the thought of going out went away. From where he started, where he landed, the day he writes the letter, he will say, I'm drowning. Now I want to pull out. I tried every drug. I've slept with so many girls. He just entered thinking, I'll just see it. But there's no seeing. That Statue of Liberty announced, I will pull everyone under my spell. It started with Hollywood once upon a time. Hollywood, from the word holy wood. Holy wood means a magical wand. The witch, the fairy, whatever they would call it, she would take that wand and she would go like this. As she would move like this, here magic would go. And whoever that magic would fall on, that person would change. In the cartoons, the toad, the frog will change into a man. But in the real world, the man would change into an animal. They would make a sane mind insane. They would make a trustworthy wife and husband unfaithful. They would create such filth in your mind that for you to slap your mother will mean nothing after that. That one magical spell we will send, that was the beginning of it. But it wouldn't stop there. Hollywood would announce to the world, and this is what Quran would now explain, that the attack would be two. First, they would introduce you into the world of humanism. Humanism means that forget an Allah. You are important. It all got to do with you. So whether you understood that word humanism or not, another verse of the Quran is, have you seen that man who made his own desire his Allah? That is humanism. What it meant is, from morning till night, your entire life revolves around you, not around an Allah. So before humanism was shown to the world, our day and our night started with Allah. So when I woke up in the morning, my first thing was, oh Allah, I thank you for the lovely sleep. Now I have to read my Fajr. That more than anyone in the world, I love you, oh Allah. The reason is, at night, if you never wanted me to sleep, I'm not the best man in the world. If you wanted to punish me, like how my mother, when she's angry, she punishes. So I do something small wrong in the house, my mother tells me, I don't want to see you. But that's all my mother can say. The most she can say, I won't give you breakfast tomorrow, so I'll make my own breakfast. But oh Allah, if you become angry, and if you say that I won't let you sleep, finished. All that messages on the phone, I won't send. Because my mind is pounding, 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 but I can't sleep. And then my Allah says, then I won't let you go toilet. Suddenly all that messages are gone. That person got a pain here, he's screaming. When one stone comes into this passage and urine can't pass, that man goes through the pain like labor, giving birth. At that time a doctor will take a syringe and put it through his private part. He won't even feel that pain, because he's going through so much of pain. So that man whose mind was on Allah would have said, oh Allah, I went to toilet so easily. And then I put food in my mouth. After I put that food in the mouth, that food could have said, oh Allah, he disobeyed you so much. Allow the food morsel to go into the air pipe. Suddenly the man starts choking, his eyes start looking, he can't breathe. That man says in the morning, I love you, oh Allah, that I did so much of disobedience. But you never slept me still. You allowed me to go toilet, you allowed me to sleep, you allowed me to eat, you allowed me to walk. So the first thing at least I can do, let me read my two rakats, Fajr. What else? How else do I thank you? That man who never worshipped himself, his life revolved around Allah. That I do a lot wrong, but you are the most important in my life. Then the era of humanism came. In the era of humanism, it revolved around you. You became everything and anything. Your life, your profile, your selfie, your haircut. You got a haircut, take a picture of it, it's in my profile. See my hair. See my shoes. See my underwear. Why he will show his underwear, will show it also. And how many people will show even beyond the underwear? A girl will fall for the boy. The boy will say, I want to see your whole body. She'll send the whole body. It became worship yourself. The Western world would show how to do it. But they would show how to do it because they were already in that shaitani circle. They were already worshipping Satan. They were already coming in contact with him. They were being fed drugs, being fed money, being fed desires. They were relating so much with the jinn that Quran says on that day of Qiyamah, when man and jinn will come, then Allah Tabarakala will say to the two groups, one will be that group what you see on Hollywood. You see them coming on the stage, you see them introducing you to clothing, to no clothing. You see them making moves. You see filthy, filthy scenes they are doing. You see them in porn, you see them in dirt. The problem is when you see them, you only see the woman, you don't see the shaitan behind her. Had you seen that shaitan, you would see a finger like this here saying, you are next. This one is already with me in the fire, you are next. That man who sees it suddenly will look away. So many boys entered the rave. And then that man whose Quran allowed him to see the DJ. And suddenly the eyes of the DJ became blue. He saw a jinn. Day and day he read his du'as of protection and tried to get out. As he was getting out, he found himself surrounded by some people. Each one of them, as they smiled at him, he saw blue in their eye. Shivering. But just because he saw the shaitan, he got out. The one who never saw the shaitan, he went on to porn, but he never saw that finger, you next. Come. The man who saw a drug, which was created in a lab, it had so much of filth in it, more than any liquor could create, an intoxicated mind, not only intoxicated, but that drug was created to enter you into the world of the jinn. As soon as the drug is popped, whichever angels were meant for your protection, for some reason that drug contains something which is so filthy in nature, that the angels which were kept for your protection against the jinn coming close, they pull away. It's as though you have entered a state of dirt and temporary dirt. Even when a man has a wet dream, at that time his entire body is dirty. But certain angels still stay for your protection. But when that drug is popped, they even leave you. At that moment you start experiencing things. You really think I'm on a high. You're not on a high. The jinn are now introducing themselves to you. That welcome. Day one they won't be angry with you. Day one they'll say, let's go for a flight in the sky. Suddenly you'll forget all your problems. You'll forget all someone who irritated you. You'll forget your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers. You are flying in the world of the shayateen. The only thing is the shayateen do not like you. They hate you so much. But when you hate someone, then as soon as he enters your trap, you don't grab him. You smile and you say, come further. How are you? And on every step of your way, as they look at you with that smile, it's that sinister hatred that I will take him so far, after which for him there will be no return. I went to one country and I mentioned the sentence, I will take you so far, after which there will be no return. So next day one boy who works in the theme park is like how you all have Gold Reef City. And you have these rides that go at what speeds? So because he works in the theme park, his job is to fix behind the scenes. So behind the scenes means many a time this ride goes into that cave like, and then the curtain falls, and then for the 2 minutes or 1 minute it's dark, and you're just seeing lights, and then you're out again. And the ride is over. It only took 2 minutes, 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, but so fast. And when you entered the cave, you saw something, but it went so fast, you never saw it. So he came to me and he said, what made me so scared is that sentence you said, I will take you, after which for you there will be no return. He says, because when I was fixing that one ride, which is the fastest of the theme park, so I was in that place which goes beyond the curtain, which when you enter it, it's dark. But because when they fix it, they have to put on lights. He said, I used to always wonder in what a place they wrote a message. Because no one can see that message. And what was that message? That message was on this words, I will take you in after which there is no return. Who would write that message that you are mine also? This is the beginning, entertainment. Go fast, move. You enjoy speed, I will give you speed. You enjoy highs, I will give you highs. You enjoy girls, I will give you girls. I will give you whatever you want. But a day will come where you will have to become mine. I will free you from the chains of religion, but you will have to become the worshipper of the fire. It would start with humanism, that you would start worshipping yourself. So the selfie came out, the hair came out, the catwalk came out. We will show you how to dress. We will show you what phone is valuable, what is not valuable. Every day you will see on the television, you will see a new cloth. So today one man's hair is looking wild. You will say to him, why you cut your hair like this? So what he will say? He will say, I can do what I want. Why? Because I am the important person. My world revolves around me, it's my hair. Yesterday he would have said, my world revolves around my Allah. How you want me to cut my hair? I'll cut it, O Allah. And then Allah Tabarakullah would have shown, cut it like this, cut it like that, cut it like that. But the era of humanism started. Where that man, he doesn't understand, but he's saying that, O Allah, you stay out of my hair. It got nothing to do with you, it's my hair. So if your Nabi showed me how to cut my hair, what you got to do with me? Just like how my mother can't tell me what to do, you don't tell me what to do. I will cut my hair, my hair. So the catwalk, Hollywood, those stars would show him so many hairstyles. So when you ask him, why you cut your hair like this? He will say, I like it. We will say, no, it was taught to you by someone. Only you never understood who was teaching you. That friend who was teaching you, if he was a real friend, he would have told you that you are entering in a world of so much of evil, that the only way you will manage to say no to the evil is what Yusuf alayhi salam said in Quran, illa ma rahima rabbi, that the only man who will be saved is the man who is in that time and the place where Allah's mercy is falling. So he would say to you, to save yourself in this era, you must ensure you got certain things that are drawing divine mercy. So you would ask them, what is that? So that friend would say to you, number one, you see your hair. If you can cut it like how the Nabi of Allah cut it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keep a zulfa. Zulfa looks smart. Girls also get attracted to zulfa. Zulfa is unique. A beard is unique. Modernism would teach, if you have a beard, no one will marry you. Go and see in the Arab world, they got huge beards and they got four wives. Our people are sitting and you meet them and say, hey, I'm looking for one still. You're far. No one ever found a beard chased away a girl. But humanism would say that the beard don't keep it. The friend would say to you, why? And the shaitan would say to you, why? Shaitan would say to you, and that's what you learnt. Television taught it to you. You want to be Superman, have no beard. You want to be Batman, have no beard. You want to be powerful. You must dress like this. You must have girls around you. You must show your legs to the world. A girl must dress like this. A boy must dress like this. Why? Humanism would say, because you are important. It's your body. And a friend of Deen, he would say to you, the only reason Shaitan wants that hair cut in that style, and he wants this beard out, what does the beard do to him? And he wants that the trouser, instead of going above the ankle, it must go over the ankle. And he wants that the girl whose trouser is supposed to go over must come up. She must show her legs, she must show her hands, she must show her neck. So you would say to Shaitan, what are you going to do with you? Because Shaitan doesn't desire smart girls. But it got to do with this, illa ma rahima rabbi. That if I can bring you onto such clothing that stays with you from morning to night, in the toilet and in the bedroom, at work and at home, sleeping and awake, if I can bring you onto one haircut, which your enjoyment of cutting it is only 1 second. When you look in the mirror, you say, hey, my hair is smart. Finished. But the rest of the day, wherever you move in the world, you move far from the mercy of Allah. That one haircut announces to the skies that my world doesn't revolve around you, O Allah. It revolves around me. I don't need you. That one haircut says barrier that the mercy of Allah, please don't fall on me. That man, wherever he moves in the world, is where Yusuf alayhi salam said, no one will manage to control his desires except he who is in the mercy of his Allah. That one haircut, that one no beard, that one trouser over the ankle, which we will see, these are all sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, habits. But why did the Western world make such an effort that you will not look like your Nabi in any way at all? In school we will teach you a uniform, we will teach you a clean cut, we will teach you what is to be macho and smart. Every manner that your Nabi did, we will teach you the opposite. Because that man who looks like the Rasul of Allah, many a friend, we tell them, why don't you look? When they come and say, I got too much of passion. So we say to him, the beginning part of your protection is dress like the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, hey, I can't do that. You ask him why? He says, because when I want to go for the movies, then if I'm wearing a turban, even the man at the entrance will look at me shocked. That where you pitched up, that's the beginning, it will not allow you to enter there. That just beginning look will put you in the mercy of Allah. Suddenly control over desires will become different. Where the eye could never close, it will start closing. But where humanism is your God, you are your God, then that started it. For that Allah Tabarak Tala mentioned this. And on the next page it was going to mention, then humanism will take you into Satanism. For humanism, Allah Ta'ala said, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that give them an example, rather hit this example on their hearts. So you need to hit it on your heart, this example. What a simple example, but what it explained. It was me and you who were going to find the era of, I worship wealth, I worship my body, I worship myself. So a big man, you'll ask him, what makes him happy? How many children I got? How many cars I got? How many phones I got? No one worries about what am I. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala in Quran says, by the oath of the fig, watini was zaytun, by the oath of the olive. There's a long explanation of this, but the crux of it is, you won't understand a fig and olive, so take it as an apple and an orange. You see that apple, that's humanism. The apple was taught that if you look smart, the whole world will die for you. So when you go to the market, every day the apple gets a new shine. And the more that the apple shines and the outside of the apple shows no crack, then the person will buy that apple. And the whole world will make an announcement, if the apple looks smart, the apple is smart. But me and you know, when the apple comes home, a man mustn't just take an apple and start biting, because many a time an apple that looks so nice on the outside, but inside it's rotten. And you took a big bite and suddenly you look and you see that one worm smiling also. Three are already gone down. So what you do, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought, when he would eat a date, he would first open it and look inside. Because the date could be so juicy, but somebody else is also enjoying the juice. Sometimes a thing is rotten, but it doesn't show on the outside. And look at the orange. That orange got no grand look on the outside. It hasn't got the smartest car. It hasn't got the smartest phone. So if a girl sees that orange, what she'll say? Hey, you don't look good, it means you're not good. The girl buys the orange. Because experience has taught her that the orange, although the outside doesn't look grand, but it's sweet on the inside. As for the apple, no matter how smart you are on the outside, every person is supposed to cut first the apple. To see, is your inside like your outside? Humanism was to teach you what your outside is, Don't worry of your insides. But we all know when that bite on the apple is taken, and someone has to see it rotten, there and there he will spit, and he will throw that apple in the bin. At that moment the apple will say, but look at my haircut. When me and you will be put in the grave, the whole world might say, you saw his hair, you saw his clothes, the brand names that he had, there's his car on the side. But the grave will say that I am going to bite into this apple. If I find it rotten on the inside, I'm not bothered of the outside. Humanism was to teach you, worry of your outside and forget your inside. This verse on Quran, Allah Tabarakallah was going to say, don't ever worship your outside. Having a nice car, having a nice phone, having a pretty wife, it's all very good, nothing wrong with it. But never ever become the worshipper of the outside and you forget your inside. Because we don't want to become Satanists. Humanism leads to Satanism. Allah Tabarakallah says, give them an example and hit it on their heart. What an example, so simple, because our minds were so simple. What a simple example which would open up the world. Allah Tabarakallah says, kama in anzalnahu min as-sama. It is the water we send down from the skies. Finish. Rain. When the rain comes and there's drought, everything is dead. But as soon as that rain falls, everything becomes green. Green is what I like to see and what you like to see. What happens? A new season of spring has started. In the season of spring, there are new flowers, there are new trees, there are new plants. Our rain that came is that me and you were created after our mother and father had relations. They had a relation and a divine command came, be, and suddenly I was born. At the beginning when I was born, I was like that small flower, small plant. With that small plant, every day there's a fear some animal will eat it, it don't survive. So while I was crawling in the house, missing my napkin, at that time I never worshipped myself. Because I couldn't move. Every time I needed help, I would cry out, help. And a cry would come out, mommy would grab me. At that time, none of us worshipped ourselves. Because we couldn't move. And thereafter, the four legs became two. I started walking. Then I started bicycling. Then I started driving. The day I sat in the car as a driver, I forgot that I am just one flower. Kama in anzalnahu min as-sama. It was water that came down from the sky. It mixed with the vegetation of the earth and one plant was created. You are one plant and I am one plant. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. Now when that plant came out strong, so as the wind blows, you will see 99.9999%, meaning the whole world. When the wind blows, every plant moves like this. As it moves, he says, you see how green I am. Here's my phone, here's my hair, here's my car, here's my girl, here's the numbers I know, here's my profile. And the plant moves. As every plant moves, he looks at that plant to see, is he moving more than me? He looks at that plant. The taller plant says, I'm better than him. The shorter plant says, I want to be like him. Every plant is only worried about his greenery. But he forgets, فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. That, oh plant, the way you behave like you are the only plant in the world. There were plants before you and there's going to be many plants after you. You got one spring, so move how much you want to. But as soon as autumn is going to come, you are going to fall down to the ground. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا. The next time someone will drive in his car and look at you, you won't be there. You will be now dead and the wind is just blowing it. You go to the graveyard and you see names. That name was one plant like me and you. That name also moved. I had my business here, I had my car there, I had my woman here. I worshipped my greenery. But what I forgot is that after every spring comes autumn and gone. I only got one season. In this one season, if I worship myself, then suddenly I will stand up tomorrow. Allah Tabarakallah says, how could you forget وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ, that that day is coming after your season. You only got one spring. In that one spring, you can either devote your life to revolve around Allah, or you can devote your life to revolve around yourself. But it's only one spring. No matter how much the plants of the past moved, they also fell. The trees also fell. The flowers also withered. Me and you sitting here today will not be here tomorrow. In this one spring, you can either make yourself your God. What you wear means everything to you. What you eat means everything to you. Who you speak to means everything to you. I dress how I want to. I look like how I want to. No one dare tells me. And oh Allah, you don't interfere in my life. Oh, I can say that one spring I got, after which my Allah has announced that, oh my servant, in this one season, if you behave like my servant, I promise you, when your autumn will come, and where every other flower will fall to the ground, you will be that one unique flower that will come in the world of the grave. And from that time, forever and ever, because you behave like my servant in this world, so to say, Allah Ta'ala says, when you will now come to me, as though you will now be the king and everybody else will be your servants. Once you enter that grave, every angel will ask, what do you want? Allah has said, you are a VIP. Is your bed comfortable? Is your pillow nice? Is the windows open? You want it open more, closed more? Is the breeze of paradise coming to you? Do you want this fragrance from Jannah, that fragrance from Jannah? Do you want to go a tour on Jannah? Do you want to see your palace? And then Qiyamah will stand, again you will be VIP. And then Jannah will start, you will be VIP forever. Your one thought will be a created. Here what you desire, you have to work. There what you desire will come. You will think of a fruit, you will see it high. That whole branch will come down to you and say, oh man of Jannah, when Allah wanted, you were ready to give. Today you want, we are ready to give. Your every one thought, one desire. But everything will happen on one spring if you can sacrifice. One spring only. Allah Ta'ala says, have you forgot that day when mountains will be made to move? وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزًا, and all these high buildings will no longer be high. Everything will be flat. There will be no cinemas, there will be no clubs, there will be no raves, there will be no parties. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ, on one flat land the entire world will come. Those stars will come. Those beautiful celebrities will come. You might see her naked in front of you. You always wanted to see her body. You always wanted to have relations with her. She had her picture on your cupboard. You looked at her on the phone. Every filthy scene of hers used to thrill you. On that day she will be brought naked in front of you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fear on that day will be such that even seeing a naked woman in front will not create one desire in the individual. One spring you have to sacrifice. On that day the realities of everything will open. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ, everyone will be brought. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا, we will not forget anyone. You will be there, I will be there. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفًّا, in one line, meaning no one will be able to hide behind somebody else. In one line, everyone will stand in front of Allah. It will be you and your Allah in between. There will be no translator. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember that day is coming that you will face Almighty Allah and there will be no translator. So man will look at his right, but he will not see except what he brought. And he will look at his left and he will not see except what he brought. Meaning all those messages we sometimes send, all those sites we sometimes visit, and at the end of it, then we go to history and we write delete. Because in case my sister gets hold on my phone, in case my secrets come out, but on that day all deleted history will be present. Things that you never want to be remembered, it will be there on the left, it will be there on the right. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man now won't know how to face Allah. And then he will look in front and he will see nothing but the fire of Jahannam. On that he said, "Oh my servants," meaning, "O servants of Allah, fear that fire. After spring is autumn for the world. We also going to our autumn. You worship yourself today, you will cry tomorrow." Man will come in front of his Allah in one line, "لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ." And Allah Tabarakala will say, "You have come to me today like how I had created you at the beginning. Weak. How you were that child who never worshipped yourself. What the mother wanted you to eat, you ate. What the mother wanted you to drink, you drank. As you were so weak on day one that you just looked for mercy." Allah Tabarak Ta'ala say, "Again today you have come just looking for mercy. No desire for clothes, no desire for food, no desire for anything but mercy of Allah. Weak we will be. بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّن نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا." The problem was, "Oh my servants, you started thinking that that appointment I had made with you was not going to happen. That's what me and you did. We forgot that appointment. We forgot promises we made to Allah. We forgot times when things were going difficult and we said, 'I'll change.' We forgot an appointment. Every other appointment was on our Google calendar. The alarm would remind us. Google would remind us, 'Don't forget your flight.' My diary would remind us. The one appointment the world forgot is that Allah Ta'ala says, 'You forgot we made an appointment. That there'll be one spring for you and then you coming back.' وَوُضِيَ الْكِتَابِ. And then your book will be sent down. And this will not be a book to read, because nobody likes reading. And on that day, if you are told, 'Read this whole book,' who's going to have time? But that book on that day will be like a movie you are seeing today. In that book, you will see yourself. And you will see your entire life. You will see those actions which you did thinking that nobody saw you. Things that you had forgotten about long time. You will see detail after detail. Every person will look at his book and he will start perspiring with shame and regret. On that day it will only be the mercy of Allah that will come to a servant. And you will say that just reading your book is sufficient as your punishment. Because as that man is looking at it, every act will make perspiration come. At that time, you will always be looking on this side, is somebody else seeing my book? So there will be certain individuals where Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will finally say to him, "Oh my servant, what? In the whole world, I covered your faults. You think today I'll open it up? But you read your book." And then stand in front of Allah and say, "Oh Allah, give me Jannah." You will see no one will be able to say it. Just perspire. When that book will come, فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ. You will see criminals on that day shivering in fear. All of us will shiver. But little that we can do is we say, "Oh Allah, from today I will not worship myself. I will fall many times still. Desires will come. I will give in to my desires. But whenever I fall, oh Allah, I will ask you, please forgive me, because my world revolves around you, not around me." But that criminal who dies, understanding he is himself and Allah, he will see criminals shivering on that day because of what is in the book. وَيَقُولُونَ. And then after looking at that book, you will hear the people saying, "يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ." That what is wrong with this book? لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة. That it has not left any small detail of my life. إلا أحصاها. But it covered it to such a degree of perfection. They could have forgotten that part. There was only one blink I made to the girl. It wasn't a big thing. There was one sentence I just made a joke. I said, what is wrong with this kitab? وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They will find whatever they had done, it's living in front of them. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Allah will not oppress anyone, it will be you. You will see yourself. And on that day you will ask, why you worshipped yourself? But it doesn't end there. Humanism will take the next step into Satanism. And that's what we are today on the brink of. Today Google has now openly announced, where 25 years ago, hiddenly, they would show a Freemasonry, but it would be hidden. You were not allowed to enter the lodge just like that. The lodge would take place late at night. There was no open invitation, come in the lodge. To become a Freemason was not easy. To become Illuminati was not easy. To enter into the world of magic was not easy. And when the world was prepared, open now, ready, now every internet site you visit, you will see an invitation towards some magic. They will tell you, we will teach you black magic, we will teach you white magic. Every game a child plays today, there is a fear in every game that as he's playing that game, then at certain times of the night, on that very game that he's playing on the internet, when there's nobody around him, suddenly he goes into a sphere which nobody else on the internet world is seeing. You have been selected now, and one part opens on the internet, which suddenly leaves you shocked. You think it's part of the game, but nobody else in the world is seeing that game, only you. And now you are told, let's go on the levels. You are already on level 3. Do you want to reach level 4? So the person says, what is level 4? It says, it's a thrill. Let's do this today. And the whole night you will think of the thrill. You will say, yeah, I've been selected. But not divinely selected, shaitani selected. On your computer he found you. You will find messages coming on your phone. You wonder where this group came out from. Because you came in the eye of the shaitan. Once you touch that level, shaitan says to his other shayateen, do not let him go now. He's entered. Step by step, pull him, pull him, pull him. There is no return for him. On that moment, the beginning of Satanism starts. And how many people, when they realized and they wanted to come out, suddenly they started being attacked by jinn. Suddenly they started seeing pain in their body. Suddenly they started getting threats on the phone. Don't you dare come out of this. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. He says, don't ever forget that it was that very shaitan who, when we said to it, worship, not worship, make sajda to Nabi Adam, it refused. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. It was Iblis who was a jinn. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. He was ready to oppose his creator looking at Allah. Me and you will never disobey Allah if we have to be seeing Allah. This Iblis was there. He heard the command like every angel heard the command. But because he hated me and you so much, he was going to be told, if you don't prostrate to Adam, you will be kicked out of paradise. He said, I'll go. He said, you will become the most hated in the world. He said, I'll become. You ask him why? He said, because I hate this man. Hate him, hate him, hate him, hate him, hate him. Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِذْ, remember, that very shaitan who you think is your friend, had he really liked you, he wouldn't have sacrificed his paradise in your hatred. So much he hates me and you. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. He was ready to say to Allah, I'm not cared. I hate this man. Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي. That, oh my servants, do you think it's wise to make him and his children your friends and to leave Allah? The day that website tells you, press this button and come, let's go on the next level. Through the barakah, the blessings of Quran, that man who can see behind the drug, the finger of shaitan saying, come, I'm your friend. This ayah must tell you at that time, hit it on your heart, that my Allah said, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ, that have you decided to make him and his children your friend? Where he hated you so much, in your hatred he said, let paradise also go. I'll burn in the fire, but I'll make sure he burns with me. Are you making him your friend? وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ He's your open enemy. بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلَهَا Allah Ta'ala says, what a substitute you took. That you had your friend who was Allah, who did everything for you, who opened up for you the world of paradise, who removed all difficulties and harms on your path. And then you had an evil enemy. The only thing he smiled and you saw his smile. And where Allah Tabarakallah smiled, we never saw that smile. So because we became the worshippers of what we could see, when I saw him smiling, I felt, you are my friend. And because I never saw the smile of my Allah, I said, you're not my friend. Allah Tabarakallah said, what a substitution you did. That your enemy who hates you, you put your hands and say, take me. And your friend who loves you, you said, oh Allah, stay out of my life. That should never happen. This gathering has been for that. That if you can find another friend now, a friend who can invite you to the friendship of Allah again, and who can pull you away from shaitani friendship, a friend who, when you got a problem, when you got feelings, when you got desires, you are able to relate and tell him, you know what, I'm thinking of this. Is it right? I doubt. I got doubts on destiny, taqdeer. When I go in sajda, I get filthy pictures of Allah. In school, one thought came in my mind, I don't know what's the answer to it. I got a desire for a certain girl. There will be times where a boy will say, I got a desire for another boy also. To your mother, you could also go at the age of 15, 16, say, Mommy, you know Fatima next door, I like her. So Mommy will say, no problem, let's send the proposal. But what will happen if you one day land up by Mommy and say, Mommy, you know Ahmed next door, I like him. Mother will get a heart attack. But a man of Islam, a scholar of religion, when you will say that sentence also, he will say that shaitan shoots his arrow anywhere. He can shoot it on a girl, you will start liking the girl. He can shoot it on a boy, you will start liking the boy. He can shoot it on a cow, you will start liking the cow. He can shoot it anywhere. But does it mean every time you get a desire, you must fulfill the desire? That was that one sentence you never heard. Then the scholar will say, my friend, as you get desires, I get double desire. So the boy will say, Sheikh, you are Sheikh, you don't get desire. So the Sheikh will say, when you think I get married, what do you think I do first night? I go on the musalla and say, oh Allah, send a child. I also got desire. That's why I got married. Suddenly you say, I never knew Shuyukh get desire. I saw him as the imam of the masjid, but today is the first time he tells me he also got desire. If a pretty girl walks in front, I want to look, he also wants to look. But the only difference is I want to look and I look. He wants to look, and in the love of his Allah, he doesn't look. He also burns after that. His nafs also tells him, you should have looked. But there was only one difference between him and me. That he was already introduced to Allah. So well he was introduced that it made it worth the while. That he said, oh Allah, my world revolves around you. If you say, look at the girl, I'll look at her. And if you say, don't look, no matter how much I want to look, but I don't worship myself. I will do for you, and Allah Tabarakallah say, and I promise I'll do for you also. That's the difference. But who will show you that? A friend will show you. That desire doesn't mean you're bad. Rather, the more desire you got, the faster you can fly to Allah. Because every time you put your brakes on desire, you break through the barriers of becoming the friend of Allah. Angels become shocked. They say, Subhanallah, look at that individual. So many girls have presented themselves. And when he turned and he walked out, Allah Tabarakallah would say to the angels, you thought only Yusuf alayhi salam would do that. Look at that boy Ahmed. He left a girl who offered her whole body to him, only in the love of his Allah. That shahadat and martyrdom that you will enjoy every day if you can learn how to bleed with these desires. Who doesn't like to take something evil? Who doesn't like to pop a drug? Who doesn't like to see filthy and dirty scenes? But that man who has learned the enjoyment of sucking the blood of his desire, he flies to Allah like anything. He also bleeds, and you also bleed. The only difference is when he bleeds in the love of his Allah. So suddenly in the morning when you will see the sun rising, just before the sun rises, you see that red on the horizon. If you allow this heart to bleed for Allah, that blood comes like the red of the horizon. It makes an announcement, if you shattered your heart for me, after the red of the horizon, the sun will rise in that heart. The sun of Allah's friendship then starts. Whole life changes. But who would teach it to you? A friend. A rajulu ala deeni khalili. A man will be on the religion of his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ Nabi Sallallahu said, now think properly who you going to make your friend. That friend will show you a path which will make a long distance which seems so hard suddenly becoming enjoyable. We will end on this one. My honorable Ustad says that if you have a friend, what was scary yesterday becomes enjoyable tomorrow. You see, when you go to the airports, then you will find those doors open and close. So a child who is 2 years or 3 years, who never saw it the first time in his life, if he is ever introduced to something called a lift, so as he looks at that lift, it looks like it's like a monster. He goes in the elevator and the elevator is closing. So you will see that child get scared a little bit. He will think that I'm getting closed up, it's like eating me. Especially that child whose mother taught him monsters. Because he never saw the elevator. There was one man from the village, he came to the city. So it was the first time in his life he saw something called an elevator. So he thought it's a monster. So as he reached there, he's looking at this elevator. As it opened up, it looked like someone's mouth was opening, jaws. So it happened, there was one fat auntie who was standing there and she had one basket. So this fat, plump auntie, she went inside the elevator and as she turned, she looked at him. And as she's looking, the elevator closed. So as it closed, he thought that that poor woman has been sacrificed to the monster. And she went in and it's eating her. So as the hero, he ran now to try and stop it. So he put his fingers there and it almost crashed. But it closed and now he's banging, open up, open up, open up. So people around are wondering, what are you up to? But the problem was he had no friend. So it happened that poor fat auntie, plump one, she went away upstairs. And one thin, smart auntie came inside. So as he's banging, open, 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 suddenly the lift opened. And his mouth went. Now he's thinking, she went in fat and old. She came out young and thin. So he screamed, Ahmad! Ahmad was his young son. He came running. What's wrong, daddy? He said, go quickly to the village and bring mommy here. It can happen. All he needed was one friend. So the friend would have told him, I'll take you in also. There's no monster in this game. Allah promised that on the brink where you see destruction, it opens up. No promise of your Allah is a lie, but it's only a screen. Behind that screen is paradise. But you'll have to be ready to take that step. As long as you don't have a friend who will tell you, I'll take you in the elevator, you will be too scared to enter. The day he takes you one time and you see the promise of Allah is, enter the elevator, you'll go one stage up. It will be so easy. Suddenly you'll start taking others in the elevator. This is that friend. Ar-rajulu ala deeni khalili. May Allah tabarak ta'ala find for all of us friends. Amen. Whoever your heart inclines towards, whoever you feel affiliation to, whoever you feel that this person understands my problem, and he will pull me out of shaitan's grasp and he will introduce me to an Allah who I never knew. Then when that heart clicks with someone, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيَنْزُرْ, think properly who you're going to make your friend. Because your friend will be your religion. Your religion will be your Jannah or your Jahannam. Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us all understanding. May Allah tabarak ta'ala save us all from shaitan, the worship of the self. May Allah Paak make every one of us the slaves of Allah. We live in his slavery, we die in his slavery, we stand up in his slavery. وآخر دعوانا.